Certainly our speaker this evening doesn't really need an introduction. Has been a vital part of our local here for years. I'm curious. I'm always curious when a guy shows up with a PowerPoint and has a title and it's like, oh, I wonder what this is going to be about. So without any more, I'm going to give you our assistant pastor and our brother, Adam.
Thank you. I would say that the title kind of gives a little bit of it away. Good evening, everyone. And everyone on live streaming, I want to welcome you and hope that you are feeling the blessings of the Lord in your life, that no matter where you're at or what you are encountering or enduring, that you recognize, like our brother reminded us of this morning, that we are blessed, that we are a blessed people. As Andy finished his sermon this morning, I told him that, his message and his thoughts went very well with the message that's upon my heart today. And as you can see, my title here is You're All on the Altar. And I hope to be able to convey to you some thoughts that have been kind of rolling around in my head here for a couple of weeks. And so I have all my scriptures here on my PowerPoint. I don't truly know how many I have, but we'll begin to go through it here. We'll begin here in Exodus, and this is the Lord as He is. The people of Israel had come out of Egypt, and the Lord had given them the Ten Commandments, and in the end of that 20th chapter, He gives this direction, and He says, "An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen. In all the places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee." The Lord begins, and in the next verse, He told them, you know, that the altar that you make, you know, it's supposed to be of stone that has never had any tool put upon it. It doesn't want to be cut stone or anything like that. And you know, I have my thoughts as to why the Lord wanted that. You know, that there was nothing that we could do to create something for Him, because He created everything. But here we see in this verse here, he begins to lay down this thought. You know, what's interesting is if we look back throughout Scripture, we see that there was always sacrifice. And there was sacrifice that was brought, you know, that Cain and Abel, they brought sacrifice. They brought offerings to the Lord, and they brought something there. You know, Noah, he sacrificed to the Lord. He said he built an altar, and he sacrificed to the Lord. So this method of offering up a sacrifice upon an altar, it was there, and it was present from the beginning. And, you know, here in the Law of Moses, there began to be these written laws, the schoolmaster of this is how you do it that was given to the people. But, you know, this was something that was in place, that there would be this way that you would come to the Lord. And so here we see that the Lord begins to lay down these things. The altar, made from stones, they were not to be cut and they were not to be touched by any tool. The Lord says if it was touched by a tool or if it was cut, it was going to be unacceptable to Him. He wouldn't accept what was offered there. It was a place of sacrifice. And it was used for an offering to the Lord for sin, for trespass, for peace. And we know what it was that happened there. You know that it was, you would come there with your sacrifice in the Old Testament. You would come there with your sacrifice. And you know, there's a lot of interesting things if you consider it. Brother Jay preached a sermon on this many years ago. I've thought about it quite a bit. My family and I, we were in Sacramento this last weekend and having a sacrament service with our members there, you know, and I was drawn to remind them of the process of sacrifice. You know, when you had, you know, it says here in this bottom bullet point I have that this altar, you know, you went before it with your sacrifice for sin, an offering, a sacrifice to atone for your sin, for a trespass. You would offer a sacrifice for peace, for thanksgiving. In all aspects of that, you know, when you would come to the Lord with this sacrifice, you would come with this animal at that time, with this young animal that was without blemish. And you know, it says in there, and every time it says, you know, that person who would come, you know, they would place their hand on the head of that sacrifice. And then they would kill it. It wasn't the priest that did it, except for the sacrifice that was made daily for the trespasses of the people that the priest did. But it was that one who came to the altar of the Lord who had to kill that sacrifice. He would put his hand on his head, and you know, in the symbolism of it, if there was a sin, it was as if you were transmitting your sin to that animal, and then it was giving its life for your sin. For those trespasses and for peace, it was as if you were transmitting your desire of thanksgiving and of love to the Lord in that animal, and it was given there. It was a place of sacrifice. You know, that altar in the law of Moses, where it was, you know, it was a bloody place. There was blood that was constantly being spread upon it. But this altar was something that was there, and it was in place, and it was something that the Lord had prescribed. The altar was symbolic of God. I have here, I took a few snippets of this story here, and we know this story. This is Abraham and Isaac. And so I'll go ahead and read here, Genesis, the 22nd chapter, beginning in the first verse. It says, "Then it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of." Verse 9, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and placed the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." You know, I'm certain that we know and we recognize this story. We've talked about it so many times. We recognize that this is a type of God and Christ, and this is also this symbolism of what it is that the Lord wants from us, is that we are willing to offer up those things that are most precious. You know, and I've highlighted in red, and I hope they show up well there, you know, some of these words, and I'm going to have it throughout this message here, and I want us to consider these things. You know, this altar was symbolic for God, and what God wanted from Abraham is He wanted an offering. He wanted him to bring him something. And, you know, when the Lord told Abraham what He wanted him to do, to offer up your son, you know, we had talked about, I've already said this, that, you know, this method of offering up something, of sacrifice on an altar and all, you know, that was in place. So when the Lord told Abraham what it was, Abraham knew exactly what the Lord was requiring of him. He knew exactly what was going to entail in that process. And, you know, we've considered that many times, I'm certain, and it's something that we need to consider, continue to consider, what it was that the Lord was asking of Abraham, and in turn, what it is that He's willing, or what He's asking us to be willing to offer up to Him. And we know this story, that they had gone, and you know, the Lord let Abraham go so far as He took his son and tied him up, laid him on this altar, this offering, this symbol of God, this altar, and was prepared to do what the Lord had asked him. And the Lord cried out to him, you know, and don't do it. And in verse 12 it says, "He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You know, I look at that and I think, you know, what it would have been like as a father here. You know, the Lord asks me, "You need to offer up Easton to me, your firstborn son." And, of course, I've got two other spares. But it still wouldn't be easy. And, you know, imagine where Abraham was. As he's preparing to do this, and he's ready to do it, I'm certain that his hands were shaking and he was trembling terribly. And I'm sure in his heart begging the Lord that he wouldn't have to do this. And when the Lord cried out to him and said, "You have shown me that there is nothing that you're not willing to give unto me." It says here that he looked and he saw that there was a ram. And what did he offer this ram up for? Well, you know, I think it was an offering of thanksgiving. A peace offering, that the Lord saved his son. But he recognized that there was still something that needed to be offered to the Lord. You know, the altar was symbolic of God. Exodus 29 and 36. Thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. This is in preparation for... I didn't go back because I could have listed a lot of verses here, but this was in preparation for the tabernacle being set up. And so the Lord was telling them, this is what you're going to do ahead of time, okay, before you begin this method of sacrificing, before Aaron and his sons begin this process of offering up sacrifices upon the altar in the tabernacle. So thou shalt offer every day for a sin offering, a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it and sanctify it. You know, and what I didn't put in the previous one is it was 7 days in a row that they did this. And every day there was they had to offer up this sacrifice that Aaron and his sons had to kill it, and they had to offer it up. 7 days thou shalt make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. And whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. You know, it's one of these things, and I get to it in a couple of these other verses, but you know, there was this expectation that was laid out in by the Lord to the people there, that when they would come and they would offer up something, this sacrifice for their sin or their trespass or for thanksgiving, for peace, for those things, that it would be something that was perfect, something that was without spot and blemish. We've heard that so many times. But you know, it was something that had to be as perfect as we were possibly able to get it. Because whatever touched it was supposed to be holy. And we'll read later that, you know, the Lord gave very specific instructions of what He did not want to see offered up there. But there was something that had to be, what touched that altar had to have been holy, an offering up to God. And of course, we can look and we can see the, obviously the deep symbolism here that Christ, you know, was holy. And He was offered up to His Father on the altar for our sin. Matthew 23 and 19. You know, our Savior, He's talking to the Pharisees, and this is in the part where He's talking about, and He's showing them, you know, that, you know, you guys strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, all these things. You know, you guys will look for the smallest little thing, and yet you miss the point. And He tells them this. He says, "You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift?" You know, that word sanctifieth, Strong's, the Greek 37, to make holy, that is, ceremonially, to purify or to consecrate, to venerate, to hallow, be holy, or sanctify. You know, here it was set up, and Christ was reminding them of this, that, you know, when you have this whole thing, we remember that Christ went in at one time into the temple, and he beat with a whip and sent out the money changers and those people who sold the animals and all that there. You know, what was happening there? They were making merchandise and you know, they were offering up those things that were not clean and that were not acceptable to the Lord. We read in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, you know, the Lord was angry with the people because they were offering up those things. They weren't offering up what was the best. They weren't doing that, and they weren't offering up that which was supposed to be most holy. And, you know, the altar, the Lord sanctified that perfect gift. So this is I want us to consider these things. The altar is where God and man met. I put meet, but at that time it was where God and man met, and even now today there is still an altar where we meet the Lord at. Albert Barnes, of that verse 19 that we just read in Matthew, he says, "The altar that sanctifieth the gift. The altar dedicated to God gave all the value or holiness to the offering and must therefore be the greatest or of the most importance." And then my thoughts there at the bottom, an offering or a sacrifice, if it was not made to be offered up upon the altar as if we were offering it up to God, it was simply just a dead animal. That's all it was. So that particular process and that particular thing was important. What must be brought, what must be brought to the altar must be. So here we see in the book of Leviticus, you know, the Lord, He's telling the people, this is what I want, what you bring to me to look like. Leviticus 22 and 18, the Lord says, "Speak unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel. Say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel that will offer his oblation for all his vows and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish, of the beeves and of the sheep or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or scurvy or scabbed, you shall not offer unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. You shall not offer to the Lord that which is bruised, or crushed, or broken, or cut, neither shall you make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall you offer the bread of your God of any of these, because there is corruption in them, and blemishes be in them, and they shall not be accepted for you. You know, the Lord was talking to the people, and you know, in the prophets later on, they, you know, the Lord through them, you know, he reminded them of this. You know, that these people, they had to come and they had to offer these things to the Lord. And you know, when you're looking at your, if you're a farmer and you're looking at, well, you know, what can I expend? What can I get rid of? You know, well, I have this calf that's perfect, and you know, at some point this is going to feed me, or it's going to, you know, I hope that this cow is going to give birth to many others and all that. You know, is that really what I want to offer to the Lord? Or how about this other one that the other cow stomped on when it was born, and it's got this leg that's broken and all that? You know, it became easy for them to just go through the motions, and they would take this thing that was not perfect and they would offer it up. And you know, without thinking that they were offering up this thing to the Lord, to God. They were placing it, this sacrifice, upon the altar as if they were giving this sacrifice to God. And they come to Him, to the altar, and offered up something that was blemished, that was not perfect. You know, they were holding back what was best from the Lord. And you know, from the beginning of this, the Lord was telling them, you don't hold back what is best. You don't hold back what is complete. I need what is best from you. You know, there's some of these words that I highlighted here. The 19th verse, at your own will. You know, they didn't force people to go to the altar. They didn't force the people to do it. They went on their own will. The Lord wanted them to come willingly to offer themselves and to offer up this sacrifice to Him. You know, something that was not perfect. It was not acceptable. It wasn't enough for God. It wasn't enough for the Lord to be offered something that wasn't perfect or as perfect as it could be. Christ, speaking to the people, you know, He still requires something in perfection when we come before Him. Matthew 5 and 23. He tells the people, therefore, if thy bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know, this isn't what my sermon's about, but I just want to help us to remember this. You know, even Christ was talking about this, that when you come to God, when you come to God, you come prepared to give in perfection. You come prepared to give everything. You come to put your all on that altar, to offer it up to the Lord. Here He's telling the people that if you can't get along with your brother, if you guys have frustrations and problems, if you're angry, if you hold these things in your heart, you know, your offering is not acceptable. It is blemished. It is blemished. What is offered thereon to God is to be holy and not blemished. 3 Nephi chapter 5, verse 71, Christ on this land, therefore if you shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and rememberest thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. You know, He continues to tell the people this. Because when Christ came, you know, they were here on this land, they were practicing the law of Moses. So they understood these things. And He was talking to them about these offerings. And we know, if we were to look in the fourth chapter of 3 Nephi, you know, after Christ was crucified, there was this destruction and there was these 3 days of darkness, and then this voice came and He began to speak to them and He told them, He says, you know, we're done with offering up a sacrifice of animals. I'm not going to accept that anymore. But now what I want your sacrifice to me to be, what I want you to bring to my altar, is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I want you now to look within yourself and see if what you're bringing to me is unblemished. I want you to reconcile when you've made a mistake. I want you to do all these things and then come and put your whole self on the altar to me and let me do what I want to do with you. The Lord still requires an unblemished offering at His altar. He still requires it. In our hymnal, song number 166, this song is your all on the altar. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar's laid. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment alway? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. We never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed till our body and soul He doth fully control and our all on the altar is laid. Who can tell all the love He will send from above and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we will share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed, have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. I'm not taking out my phone to text. I forgot to put in a definition here. At this time when this song was penned, you know, this word all, you know, what was it that they understood? And we understand this as well. You know, it says, is your all on the altar? And this definition here of the word all, the whole quantity, the whole extent, the whole duration, the whole amount, the whole quality, the whole degree, as all the wheat, all the land, all the year, all the strength. The word signifies then the whole or the entire thing, or all the parts or particulars which compose it. It always precedes the definitive adjectives, thee, my, thy, his, your, as all the cattle, all my labor, all thy goods, all his wealth, all our family, all our effort, all our soul. This word, not only popular in language, but in the Scriptures, often signifies indefinitely a large portion or number, or a great part. Is our all on the altar? Are you willing? What are you willing to offer to the Lord? Is your all on the altar? You know, I'll share the thoughts that are behind this message that's been on my heart. You know, Andy mentioned it this morning. You all know it. You know, I find myself today unemployed. And I haven't been here in for many, many years. I don't know sometimes how to feel. This entire process that I've been through to where I stand today, it's been difficult. It's been strenuous. It's been physically, emotionally, spiritually taxing. It's been a time of great growth, of great reflection. Not long ago, maybe a month or so ago, I had asked some of my friends to pray about what the future would be here for me and where I'm at. And one of my dear brothers, and I won't mention who he is, but I'm certain he's listening now, you know, had drafted an email and sent it to me, and had said some things in there that I have been just considering. And one of the things that he had said, you know, that he felt impressed about was, you know, he says, there is a possibility that at some time or another the Lord had told you, and you had either not recognized it, or you had ignored it, or chosen not to follow, that perhaps you needed to be changing the direction of your life anyway before it came to this. that perhaps your job was something that the Lord required of you, but you never heeded Him, or you ignored it, or you never heard. I spent some time really kind of rolling that over in my mind and thinking about that. Had I missed something? Was there something that the Lord had asked of me to do that I had ignored or that I had turned my back on? And I came to this understanding, you know, as I prayed about it and I thought about it, no, that never happened. And then beyond that, you know, the Lord really convicted me of this, is why I had never been willing to offer that up. I'd never been willing to offer. You know, I feel certain that if I were to ask almost any of you, you would say that in my life I've told the Lord I want Him to lead me in anything that He wants me to do. And yet I know that while 6 months ago I would have said that, had the Lord said to me, you know what, Adam, I need you to go ahead and quit your job, and I'm not going to tell you what the future holds, I would have said, not a chance, Lord. This job is a gift. You gave it to me. I can tell you all of the reasons why it was a gift and a blessing that was prepared by you. Why would you want me to give it up? And so it never made sense for me to offer up that to the Lord on the altar. And so in some ways, when I presented myself every time to the Lord to ask for His direction, I was truly offering something that was not a complete or a perfect offering. Because I wasn't truly willing to put everything on the altar before the Lord. It's as if, you know, the Lord asked me, you know, Adam, I need you to offer up your firstborn son. And I said, well, you know, I just don't know why you would do that. Children are a gift, Lord. I must be wrong. You know, I wonder about this. And so oftentimes we find ourselves in life wondering what it is the Lord wants. Or is He hearing me? What direction do You want me to go? And we talk to the Lord and we pray to Him, but are we willing to offer up everything? And what is it? You know, I'm talking about my job, and I don't know. Had I considered it before and I'd been willing to give everything over to the Lord, even if it means that He would say, hey, you need to, you know, leave your job. Or I think about, you know, some of our brothers and sisters who, you know, were willing to offer up living here to move somewhere else to strengthen a weakening local. You know, well, they laid there all on the altar. Is that me? Have I been willing to do that? What is it in your life? Are you laying your entire self as this offering up to God? Are you holding something back? Is it anger? Are you holding in frustration with others? Are you not willing to offer up the comforts of life? When we were traveling, you know, Rebecca was talking about a conversation that some of the ladies had on Sunday afternoon, you know, where Kathy was talking about that she felt like this time in Ethiopia she stayed in the worst place she'd ever stayed in. You know, we willing to do that? We were visiting with a sister there in Sacramento, and you know, we talked about something like that. She says, I could never do that. I would never be willing to go to some place to be uncomfortable and all that. Well, you know, if you're not willing to, then you have not put your all on the altar. I just wonder if sometimes we are the reality is that we're missing something from the Lord because we're not willing to put our whole entire soul, everything that's within us, to allow Him to fully control. And in doing so, we're missing out. Would you say that you've offered your whole self and your whole life to the Lord? Every part, every dark and deep corner in there. Is there some sin that you're holding on to? I'm ashamed to handle it, or I like it too much. I don't want to go and talk to that person and offer my forgiveness or ask them for theirs. If you haven't done that, then we haven't put our whole self and our all on the altar. Does that mean that you've been willing to ask if He wants you to change or to leave behind or to take up something? We live really comfortable lives. And as I've looked at mine and I've kind of taken stock lately, I realize I probably got too much. I could live far more simply. But you know, if the Lord were to tell me now that you need to sell all that you have, would I be willing? And if I'm not, am I really offering up that perfect sacrifice to the Lord of my whole soul, of me? Have you fully offered your whole self to the Lord as a sacrifice? Perfect, complete, unblemished. When you ask the Lord for forgiveness, that symbol that we saw from the very beginning, and you know, in the law of Moses, you committed a sin. You know, and you would go there, I want to be forgiven. And so at that time, what you did is you drug this little helpless calf up there before the priest, and he gave you a knife, and you put your hand on its head, and you symbolically transmitted your sins to it, and you killed it. And we don't do that anymore, but now we place our hand on the head of our Savior. And are we doing that when we come to the Lord for forgiveness? In truth? With a broken heart? And a contrite spirit? If not, we're missing. Are you holding back? Are you willing to follow if He asks you to give up something important, especially if it's something dear to you? And the Lord's not going to ask you to divorce your wife or anything like that. But you know, there are these things that we hold in our life that are dear to us. Are we willing to do it? Whatever that is. In your life, there's something there. There is that thing there, and I'm sure there's more in my life, you know. And as I consider these things, and as I've rolled this thought over in my mind over the past weeks, you know, I've considered many things that, you know, I wasn't willing to offer up to the Lord. Mosiah chapter 1, verses 57 through 60. King Benjamin speaking to the people. Now in the first place, He hath created you and granted unto you your lives, for which you are indebted unto Him. Secondly, He doth require that you should do as He hath commanded you, for which if you do, He doth immediately bless you. Therefore He hath paid you. You know, that's a promise right there that I think we need to keep in our mind. As we go through life and we're faced constantly with questions, with challenges, you know, that if we do what the Lord has asked us to do, I answer with that godly answer. I let the Lord's Word guide me in my steps. You know, when you do that, there is a blessing that comes to you. And here He says, Lord, immediately bless you. You're still indebted to Him and are and will be forever and ever. And what have ye to boast? Now I ask, can you say aught of yourselves? I answer you, nay. You know, that word indebted, Webster's 1829 dictionary, to be in debt, having incurred a debt, held or obliged to pay. You know, we are held, we're obliged to pay our whole soul to the Lord. We're obliged because He's blessed us, because He's offered us eternal life, because He has offered us forgiveness. We are indebted completely to Him. Romans 12:1, you know, a living sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we understand now that I'm not going to drag myself up before an altar and do all those things, you know, offer up my physical body. No, it's everything that's within you. It's supposed to be a sacrifice, acceptable unto God, holy. Remember that it said that in Leviticus, it's everything that touches this altar is to be holy, and it's to be acceptable. That's our reasonable service that we present ourselves before the Lord. Every part of us. What was a sacrifice? To what end was it offered and to whom? I've already touched on that. We know exactly what that is. Mark, in the 12th chapter, the 41st verse, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And He called unto Him His disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. A mite was half a farthing, or today it was about a fifth of a penny. So she threw in two of those. She was 3/5 away from making even a penny. This word abundance, you know, we look back here and it says that, you know, Christ is talking about these rich people. They were throwing in things, and he says they cast in of their abundance. And that word abundance, Strong's defines it in the Greek, says to superabound in quantity or quality, to be in excess, to be superfluous. Also, transitively, to cause to superabound or excel, to make more, to abound, have abundance, be in abundance, to be the better. Enough and to spare. Exceed, excel, increase, be left, redound, remain over and above. You know, what he was saying was, is, you know, these people there, these rich people, they were going up and they were giving an offering, but it was after, you know, I have enough to spare. Well, you know, I already bought my food and I already paid my rent and all that, and I've got enough so that I can have a couple dollars here. I can go to the movies and I can buy some new shoes, and I still have 50 cents here. I still have $500 here. I'll just go ahead and give that. That's what these rich people were doing. There wasn't a sacrifice there on their part. They weren't giving of their all. But then he sees this widow woman. And it says in verse 44, it says, she of her want did cast in all that she had. You know, that word want, Strong's, says a falling short. That is specifically, I'm going to say that's penury or want. Now, I don't know what that word penury is, so I went and looked it up. Webster's 1829 dictionary, a want of property, indigence, extreme poverty. You know, out of her extreme poverty, she gave everything that she had. 2/5 of a penny. And to her, that was the greatest riches she had, but she was willing to offer it to the Lord. It says she gave, cast in all that she had, even all of her living. That word living, Strong's 979, it was a primary word, is her life. That is literally the present state of her existence. By implication, the means of a livelihood. That was her money for bread. That was her money to pay for a roof over her head. That was her last 2 mites that she had, and she was willing to give it to the Lord. She gave her all. And you know, the Lord is telling us to look at that. Consider that. We don't give just what is extra. We don't give what seems reasonable to man, but what is reasonable to God. Everything that we have. In whatever aspect of our spiritual life we're talking about. That's what's acceptable to the Lord. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Which commandment should I keep, Lord? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? We know the scripture. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Forgive me, I'm going to jump 2 slides ahead here. Gary talked about this the other day. You know, this word perfect, Christ said that he told this man, if you want to be perfect, perfect, Strong's, it's the Greek, 5046, it's complete. If you want to be complete, you give up everything that you have. For that man, it was what he held most dear. It was his riches. For some, it might be that I held my job as the most important thing, but you know, I was proud of the things that I accomplished. It was a sense of pride for me. And, you know, I would have never considered being willing to offer up something like that to the Lord. Perfect, complete. Webster's, I keep mixing up 1830 and 1829 dictionary. It's 1829, I'm sorry. Complete is having no deficiency. Nothing missing. If we want to be complete. So then, after hearing this thing that the Lord told this rich man, Peter asked him a question. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we've forsaken all and followed thee, and what shall we have therefore? Well, Lord, we've already gotten rid of everything, and we're following you. You know, what is it that we can look forward to? And I don't believe that. I think he was just simply, well, we've already given up everything. You told this man to give up everything. We've already done it. So what is it that we're going to be blessed with, Lord? Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. You know, the Lord blesses our sacrifice. When we're willing to put our all on the altar, and I'm not standing up here saying, all right, everybody, ask the Lord if you need to quit your job and be like Adam. No. But to search yourself and see, am I willing to ask the Lord to change everything, to convict me of anything, to ask me to do anything for His glory, and ultimately, for my spiritual welfare. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels and shall reward every man according to his works. We have this trouble in life is that it's so easy to get weighed down by all of these things. And in the end, you know, we can live a very simple life and we can still lose it, still lose our soul. We need to be willing to offer up our whole selves to the Lord. It's the only thing that's acceptable. And so, this is the end of my sermon. I'd ask that you consider this, that you consider your spiritual walk, you consider where you're at. That's right, Logan, I'm under an hour. I saw you look. I'm going to ask that you be willing to examine yourself, you know, and ask, am I holding something back, Lord? Is there something that you would have for me to do that I've been unwilling to do? You know, is there something I'm missing because I haven't been willing to offer up my whole soul to you? My whole life? If the Lord were to ask you like He came to Abraham and said, I want you to offer up your son, your only son to me. You know, we don't see what Abraham did. I don't bet that when the Lord told him that, I wouldn't think that he probably jumped up with excitement and went to prepare the way. But he also took all of the necessary plans and went to do and accomplish the Lord's will, even though I'm certain it wasn't what he wanted to do. But you know, the Lord had something better in store for him, a plan that he wanted to accomplish in his life. And what would have happened if Abraham would have said, no, Lord, I'm not doing that. How about this other son I had with the concubine? How about that guy instead? You know, it wasn't what the Lord wanted. He wanted his best. He wanted his everything. He wanted him to offer up what was most precious. And are we willing to do the same? So I'd ask that you would consider these things, that you would consider your walk before the Lord. What is he asking of you? Are you really putting your whole self there before him for him to do and to use as his will, as he wills and at his pleasure, knowing that, you know, he offers a blessing eternally for us? That, you know, like we were reminded of this morning, you know, he's not going to leave us destitute. He's not going to leave us without food. He's not going to leave us without clothing. The Lord knows those who are His. And He knows those who are willing to offer up their whole self to Him. And so I thank you for your time and your attention and ask that you consider these things throughout this week and as you go home and you pray tonight, that you consider these things. Thank you.